But the Sunday before that, a very powerful move of His Holy Spirit. And I felt compelled from that point, and I told you from that point, I've been praying about that. The Lord's been impressing me and working with me a lot about that. And testimony that Amy gave was so powerful, and it's just like another nudge for me towards that. So I'm going to pick up on that, lest I miss what I believe that the Lord is doing. I believe He's already got this thing going. I just want to catch on to it. And I've been studying towards that. But today I want to speak primarily to our dads, but also our moms, our families. And I know, goodness knows, we all know, it's a very different day that we lived in, that we live in right now. I grew up when the divorce rate, I remember hearing about the divorce rate the first time. I was in the third grade, and one of the little girls in my classroom, she was crying. And I was like, what's wrong with her? And somebody said her mom and dad got divorced, and she was just tore up. And then I started hearing about this thing called divorce rate, and it struck fear inside of me as a child. But it was 1 in 5 then. Can I tell you, it's grown. It's at 1 in 2 now. 1 in 2. The last statistic I saw was marriages that survive are 50.3% of marriages survive. 49.7% of marriages do not. There was no defining line between church attenders and non-church attenders. That was just like a cross. I want to speak into marriages. We have a marriage conference coming up very soon. We're bringing in wonderful guests. We usually do that just ourselves, but we're bringing in Brad and Karen from Texas, that you've met them before. And if you haven't, they're amazing people, have some wonderful insight. But I promise you this, the enemy's against your marriage. Obviously so. And I also promise you this, God is for your marriage. Do you know that whether you serve God or not, the enemy hates you? Well, let me tell you one way he hates you, just from looking at you. The Bible says that we were made in His image. So just to look upon you, there's a hatred for you because you remind the enemy of God whether you serve God or not. You're made in His image, right? You ever see something and say, oh, that looks like a cross? Well, there's a reason for that. It may not be the perfect example of a cross, but if it's close to the image of a cross, it's going to remind you of a cross. Amen? Amen, everybody else? So, the enemy hates you for that. And if you're married, the enemy hates you because marriage is an institution of God. So of course he would hate marriage. He'll hate your marriage whether you serve God or not. He'll hate your marriage. Your union reminds him of God because it's God's institution. So the first 3 minutes were absolutely free. No charge for that. Wasn't even going there, but I wanted to say it. But today's message is for everybody. I guess why I said that is to say this. There's a good chance in just this room, in this small setting, that we are comprised of people that are married one time or maybe more than one time or divorced or single again. God loves you. God has grace for you. And He wants to strengthen you wherever you are at. Aren't you grateful for that? He can always pick up our broken pieces. Amen. So wherever you're at, we're going to look to His Word. So I'm going to invite you to do this. If you will listen to all of this, and even from a place of pain or a place of longing, or you want something that you don't have now, if you'll listen to this, God will speak to you wherever you're at. Wherever you're at in your life, He will speak to you through His Word because He is good just like that. So got a pastor friend this morning, sent me a picture of what he's doing at his church, and they got the hatchet throw set up in their church. He said, after church this morning, we're going to let all our men throw what's it called? Axe throwing. So they're going to be doing that. And his church is in Florida, but it's got a big net around it. I said, bro, where's your faith at? Take the net down. And, you know, here I am giving away pocket knives this morning. So I'm not that far off. Maybe we're just being a little bit gimmicky today, but his church is in Florida. I said, oh, you'll find out who your real Seminole fans are. Okay. But anyway, so here we go. Chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Don't let it get uncomfortable in here because I said something like that. I'm reading what the Word of God says. But notice how it says, to your own husbands as to the Lord. He didn't say you got to submit to mankind, but you submit to your own husband. That's a beautiful thing. There's a beautiful thing in that. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Can I tell you how powerful that scripture is right there? I mean, it's completely powerful. And it frees so much up. It takes away so many things that if we're not careful and we get it wrong, we'll divide ourselves over things like this. But when he says that we are to love our wives, so all of you that may be visiting today or don't know, this one's mine right here. So if you're single and visiting, don't look right here. Yet many years ago, I preached at INSP. I preached there, and we had our youth drama team there, and I just asked all the men, the single men, to stand. And now, I don't know, there's probably 200 single men, and I said, let me present this to you like a scripture. And then I asked my daughter, was single. This is my daughter. This is my son-in-law. But I asked my daughter to stand. Stand. Come on, Michaela. No, I said stand. Okay, I'm just kidding. Okay. Here. Okay. There you go. Now you can sit back down. But I said, let me give it to you like a scripture. I said, now I need all the other ladies in the room to stand. All the other ladies. Michaela, you keep your seat. All the other ladies stand. And they did. They were gracious. I said, so to you 200 or so single men, if you read your Bible, I want to put it to you like this. Of all the trees in the garden you may eat, but of this tree you shall not. So, and this one's a no-no, too. This is mine. This is she's mine. She's mine. Okay? Y'all know it's still me that you're dealing with here. But there's something that they can expect from me that they should not expect from you. In my position, if I'm going to love her like Christ loves the church, I'm going to be first in a lot. So I'm going to be first to really pour love into her. But I'm also going to be first to forgive. I'm going to be first to forgive. I'm going to be first to look for a conflict resolution. And according to his word, there's a manual that's going to help me figure out what that looks like. It's his word. And the Bible says to wash her with the water of the word. There is a cleansing flow from his word that will do what you can't come up with in your own mind. Even if you love her, even if you want the best for her, we can't get it exactly right unless we use the manual. Amen. We could stop right there. But if I stop right there and let you go, you're going to have to wait for lunch. But if I be Pastor John and keep y'all a little while, you'll be thankful. You'll get into the lunch line this morning. Let me give you just a little private word. If you want to get a Father's Day table today, call before I start preaching. Let church go. And at the end of church, you'll drive up right in time to get your table. Promise you. Okay, I thought I'd get a couple of laughs on that, y'all. Maybe y'all just mad because you know you ain't going to get in any restaurant either way today. So we are to be first. Husbands, to say first. Say I'm first. And then it says this, to sanctify them. That word sanctify means to set apart. Set her apart. But let me tell you where, be as nice as I can with this. But if we're not careful, we'll sub washing her with the water of the word out to somebody else. Because we don't have enough word to wash them with. Can I tell you what the responsibility is for you? Is to wash your wife with the water of the word. Even if you don't know, even if you're young in the Lord or you're old in the Lord and you still don't know what to say, get his word out and start reading his word. Find something in there. Look a word up. I love this search engine. Is that the right thing? A search engine? Blue Letter Bible, is that a search engine? See how smart I've got since I've been around Dianya? And is that right? Well, let me check off of somebody. Is that right? Search it. Is Blue Letter Bible like that's a place you... It's a... I won't be rebuking my own wife on today. No, I'm just kidding. No, I have learned to navigate around Blue Letter Bible. I can type in a word and find out if that word is in the Bible in different versions. If you don't know what to do, hey, that's your soap. That's your soap. You go to that. You get your spiritual soap and you wash the situation down with the water of the word and it cleans it. Now, when it says this, I want you to get a couple of pictures right here. When in verse 26, it says that you might set her apart, that you might cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. So that word means that. So there's something that needs to come out of that. So this is a production scripture. This is like this plus this equals. So verse 27 is the equals. This is the sum total of what you should expect. That he might present her to himself a glorious church. So that's Christ washing us with the water of his word like we wash our wives. He said, husbands, love your wives. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. So the same way that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So, in your position, this is what the Bible says. You're actually, when it says that he's presenting her, that Christ is going to present the church, you as a husband, you're presenting her as yourself. The two become one. But here's that. It, while we might not get this, why this might not make sense to us, is because in that day, this made complete sense to them. They had these things called a ceremonial washing, and they would carry them out several times a day. And it was simply a basin of water. There was no soap. I know I used the word soap a minute ago, metaphorically speaking. They used simply water. And though it was symbolic, it was also very intentional. And they would do it at certain times, and they would do it before certain circumstances to carry it out. And they would wash. And the way that they would wash is that they would use that water, and they would open up, and they would wash their arms. And the reason that they didn't wash their arms like this,
their arms out and wash like this. was no place that a speck of dirt couldn't be touched and washed. See, if I just wash like this, I could still have. Y'all have 6-year-old boys, don't you? You know what dirt rings are, right here. Your mama washed your face, you'd pull your neck up like that and wash all, and you'd be going like, "Mom, let me go. I got to go play. They're waiting on me outside,
right?" Well, that's that, and girls too. Thank you for that. The whole thing was this. They would actually pull back any crevice of flesh on their body so that the water would reach any place that it needed to reach for cleanness to take place. Flesh is going to always have the opportunity to cover sin up. You know that when the Bible talks about circumcision, it's simply talking about the cutting away of unnecessary flesh. The cutting away of unnecessary flesh. In the physical, that's what it is. I'm sorry if this feels like a biology lesson. There may not be any real advantage to that other than it is a cultural thing, or it is the cutting away of unnecessary flesh. But spiritually speaking, there is a circumcision that has to take place. And it is still a cutting away of unnecessary flesh. And there is a washing away of sin so that when the time comes and we're presented as his bride, he's not going to be embarrassed of his bride. Do you understand that? My wife has never looked any more. I'm careful how I word this. She's never looked any more beautiful than she did on the day that we got married. My daughter, the day that she got married, was never any more beautiful than she was the day that she got married. I believe as he's looking for a bride, he's not going to look at us and excuse and say, what you been doing, playing tennis on a clay court? You ever seen them when they play tennis, they get sweaty. But you ever seen when they play on a clay court? They get nasty. I believe there's a certain expectation from us. The other thing that this scripture, because it says that we are being presented, let me just read it, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That was also likened to what they called a fuller. A fuller was what we would call, when I was a kid, it was called martinizing. Does anybody know what that is? Dry cleaning. You would take your clothes to someone and you could have them washed, pressed, starched, folded, and they would present those clothes back to you in a way that they look brand new, like right off the shelf. I remember my dad would get his preaching suits and his preaching shirts, and he'd get his shirts starched. They look better after they'd been to the dry cleaners than they did when he bought them. Not to mention when he brought them to them. I mean, they'd be balled up and jumbled and just like, here, do your magic, do your thing. And when they got them back, they're like, whoa. The first time I got something dry cleaned, and y'all can look at me and tell it's been a long time. Number one, it was expensive. But number two, I didn't even want to wear it anymore. It looked so nice, I just wanted it there for a special occasion just in case. Maybe that's why it's still hanging in the closet. But what I would have been upset about is if I would have gone and paid that money for something, and when I got it back, it looked about the same as when I dropped it off. There's a reasonable expectation of how we present ourselves back to God. There's a reasonable. He paid the ultimate price. There's a reasonable expectation. Verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Look, I had friends that I cared a lot about, but I didn't leave my father and mother for any of them. But for her, I left my father and my mother. That's a whole other level. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is about honor. And I know that we live in a different time now, and I know that we're living in different circumstances. And I'm not trying to remind you of pain, but I want to give you something right here that I believe will help you. The disciples said this about Jesus after being around him, after him living his life around them. They said something incredible happened. They said, now there was a time when we regarded everyone according to the flesh. It was in their laws. It was the way they, it was built in that you look at people and you judge them and you're like, you ever seen somebody sizing somebody up that they didn't like? I'm sorry, I'm looking at my son-in-law right now. I don't know. but you look at them with just a little bit of disdain. Just a touch of disdain, you know? Like you can do better. I'm telling you, this is rough. I'm not talking about you. I'm using you for an example. I love my son-in-law. But here's the thing. There was a time in those religious settings like that, it was built in that you look at somebody else less than you. What do you think society's teaching us right now? In the name of everybody being equal, let's don't be equal at all. Let's just stir it up. I'm not some top that I'm going to let somebody pull a string on and watch me spin. That's a whole other thing. I don't want to get crunk on something like that. But that's where we live. So the thing was, the disciples said, there was a time when we lived like that. But after, now this is so powerful. This is scripture. After we've been around you, Jesus, from this point on, we regard no man after the flesh. We regard no one after the flesh. Can I tell you as an example how powerful that would be if we regarded no one after the flesh? You know what that says? Because you were made in his image. That's a witness right now. I take that as an amen. Full-fledged. I think a hanky wave and everything. Here's the thing. There's an anointing. There's an oil that's on each of us. We're made in his image. How many of you are right where you've been spiritually your whole life? Liar, be careful. How many of you have ever done anything outside of the presence of church folk that you don't want nobody to know about? If that's the case, and it is, we've all been there. But scripturally, we're not supposed to regard anyone from this point. That's what the disciples said. From then, they're not. We would regard no one after the flesh. They would regard after the oil that was on somebody's life. The possibility after Jesus. There's something about you after Jesus that's different than you pre-Jesus. It has to be. And if I could look at you like he's just not done with them yet. Well, that would be just a great step right there in and of itself. But to not regard after that tells me that on a day like Father's Day, I believe there's oil on every man. We have the power to create. Oil on every woman. We have the power to create. We've got that as God made us to have that. But there's some things that I said it a minute ago about not subbing some things out. God has put you, regardless of the situation, there's a way that God views us. And I believe a lot of times it's very different than how we view even ourselves. Because there's this little voice of this enemy that's always telling me, I'm not enough, I'm not good enough. And if I listen to that, I'll fall very short of what he's called me to do for that day, right? I'll allow myself to be stolen from that day. So let me give it to you as an example like this. I actually looked for a little compact umbrella. But just so you know, those are virtually the same size in length. Let me line them up. From point to point, they are really close. It ain't my color, but it works. And when it's raining, I don't care what color it is, right? But come here, honey. Michaela, you know you're next. So come on, get in. Come on. I would ask Logan to get in too, but he's like, y'all crazy already. I'm not getting in there with y'all. Now, what's happening? I'm talking about me being a gentleman. I'm doing it, right? But come on, Michaela, come on. Keep up. As I'm a gentleman, I'm a little more protected than they are, right? Thank you. Y'all did so good. Yeah, her hair got wet. Mine too. That is actually designed for one. And for a chivalrous person, it looks good. But let me tell you, when you get one of these dudes, just by... Watch how much comes off of this dude right here to unwind it. Versus... I can expect a difference. Let me get where I can open this dude up. It's about the same length, but a little more coverage, right? This is my fatherly umbrella. That scripture right there just described a great deal of safety and security. And culturally, there are people that will take that scripture and say, you don't love women at all. Or you don't love pronouns at all. Or you don't love at all. You don't even know what the word means. And you're selfish and you're... No, I understand I've got an anointing on my life. And I understand that she looks to me and she looks to me. And I don't care how much cultural changes. I'm doing this because I love them. Me not loving them is having a choice to do this and subbing it out for this. Did you hear what I said? I don't make any apologies for that. And I'm not going to make any apologies for this either. You could say, I need to call my pastor so my pastor can pray for me. And I'll appreciate that. And I'll pray for you with that. But that's not just for you to sub out. Your prayers and you praying the prayer have been given the authority to have the most authoritative voice over your family when you pray for them. It does not mean that you prayed the perfect prayer. It doesn't mean that you busted out the thuses and the thous and all the big, and heaven opened up and His glory came down, His angels lined up around your prayers. No. There's something about the anointing that's on your life to pray for your wife, to pray for your children, wherever they may be. That's something God has given you right now for any time, for your future. That's the power that you have inside of you, that God has given you. And He's ordained that authority. And I can pray about it, but you can speak to it with more authority than anybody else and more conviction. Don't call me to do what God has given you to do with way more authority than what I've got. I'll do it. I'll gladly do it. And I won't bring this up. And I'm not talking to anybody because you've done that. I'm saying, realize the power that God has given me. Do you know that the other week when we gave a Bible over here to a young man, and we gave another Bible over here to a young man? Do you know while we were worshiping right here, I felt the Lord impress me, because I knew I always pray over them. But because your father, Samuel, was here, have his dad pray over him. Have his dad. Why? Because he'll forget my prayer. He'll never forget that day. I'm telling you, you will never forget the day that your dad prayed over you. You don't have to remember every word, but that was more powerful to you than it was anybody in the room, because that was an authority that was being handed down and prayed out over you, and he was touching the throne for his son, and I could feel it as he prayed over his dad. Is there something that we can glean from that? My grandson, right here this morning, he's just about to turn 4 years old. I had to do some quick math. 4 years old. Right. Hey, 4 years old. And, you know, at 4 years old, a lot of kids, they want to run around the church. If you take your hand off of them, pew, they gone. I remember when he was 3 and 2 and just learning, that little scutter, he'd be up there on that stage if you didn't watch him. He'd be coming up here to see Grandma, you know. Grammy, she's right there, you know. I had to pull him back because he's being raised up in this. I just had my hand on his head this morning. And then after a minute, I just wanted to worship. I raised my hands, and then I noticed, I just felt him just lean up over on me. He just leaned into his papa. And I just, like, anything you want, son, anything, it's all yours. It's all yours. And he did that a few times, and he never wanted to leave. He wanted to stay right there, and he just kept button up against, and then he finally sat down, and he had his little leg on the right side just pushing up into mine. He just kept that connection going right there. And I just started thanking God for him. I knew last week he had a little crick in his neck. He's been getting these little cricks in his neck. So I just started praying over that little head and that neck. But his prayers will always be greater than mine. He's in my blood. He's in my lineage. But his dad has that incredible responsibility, yes, but privilege even more. Don't shirk that. Don't sub that out. Don't let anybody else have that. That is your privilege. That is your privilege. Just like she recognized that cry. You know why Anna didn't need to go to the restroom? That's her baby she heard back there. Now, if Susan heard that and jumped up and ran back there, or Deanya, there'd be something wrong with that. Or if Pastor John... Here, honey, hold that. That's the end of it. But we do that. And we act like it's not weird, but in the Spirit, how many times is God saying, why are you asking Pastor John what I've given you the authority to do? Nobody knows your family like you know your family. And you can, dads, you can stumble over a prayer, but pray it. Open up and say it and let God do you not, I mean, you probably don't know this. I am the most, you probably look at me and tell, but I'm the most unlikely guy to stand in a pulpit. I could not speak in a crowd. I could, the days that in my, I remember in the seventh grade, we had a project due, and I was, we had to simply make something and then get up and tell everybody what it was. And I remember that day how I didn't even want to think about it so much that I waited till the day that the teacher was calling people out to bring your project up and tell us about it. And I was sweating, and I remember you fold it up, make it look like a box. I'm sitting there while everybody else has got their stuff ready to go, and they're all like waiting and waiting. I'm like, and I'm drawing on this thing, and I finally make something looks like a bubblegum box. How many of y'all remember Hubba Bubba bubblegum? If I'd have had to say it, that's probably Hubba Bubba Bubba Hubba Bubba Bubba. I was so nervous. So I don't even know where it came from. But I wrote on that little box, Super Bubble, Bubblegum. And then I wrote my logo underneath it. And it was the same logo as Hubba Bubba, except it was Super Bubble today. And Hubba Bubba, their thing were big bubbles, no troubles. Guess what mine was? Super Bubbles, no troubles. And my knees knocked at a rate that you wouldn't believe as I was trying to tell them, sweating profusely, about Super Bubbles, no trouble. And my teacher, seventh grade, I still see her looking at me like. I'm sure she couldn't wait to stab the most definitive F on my little Super Bubble box that I had just made up. And yet I stand before you and speak freely today. You open your mouth and you let God start filling it. Dads, I'm not getting on to anybody. I'm encouraging you. Nobody will speak over yours like you'll speak over yours. And if you'll speak over yours, it will break down walls, chains, barriers, stuff that you thought you couldn't get through. You'll watch it crumble because you were bold enough to speak and cross that spiritual line that the enemy's been holding you back. I'm telling you, I sense the enemy scared right now over what you're going to do in your family's life. Amen. Christine, will you come?
From our marriage, something that I just can't get away from. Will you lift your umbrella up? Which one? Give me mine. this happened really recently. How many of you know we face stuff just like you do? We've been married 29 years. And open yours. So this is what happened. We're under this. I feel very safe and I feel very protected. And he's always been this for our family. But I'm an individual too, right? And the enemy's real. And I found myself in a place a few weeks ago. And it wasn't here. It was over here. And I start, you know, pain and things that happen in your life can, I hate to use this word because it's so overused in our culture, but they can trigger you, right? And I got triggered pain really, really bad. And it's not good. My coping mechanism is to isolate and get it together and then insert back in. Not good. Okay, but that's, I'm being honest with you. So I found myself over here trying to get it together. But guess what? He's not the kind of husband that says, that's right, that's your problem. You fix it. And when you got it together, you can come back under the family umbrella. I was hurting, and he could feel the isolation that I was trying to sit over here and get it together. And this little umbrella could not weather the storm that I was in. I was hurting. I was hurting really, really bad. And I'll never forget, we've been married 29 years, so we kind of got this down by now in some ways. But I made myself. I said, Holy Spirit, Lord, I know I'm doing this, and I need you to help me make the right choice. But you know what? My legs were frozen. I was so pained. I couldn't make the move. But this big umbrella comes and finds me. And he said to me, are you okay? And I said, I'm fine. You know, he's like, you're not fine. And I said, I'm not fine. And he invited me under his umbrella because my problems are his problems. My pain is his pain. My hurt is his hurt. And the answers that he doesn't have, he will ask God for because this is our umbrella. So he invited me. And I sat down on the bed. I closed the door. I said, I need to talk to you. And he said, okay. And I said, and I'm in a place of pain right now, so you're going to say a lot of really rational, reasonable things to me, and I'm not going to hear any of them. And he started, and he said, well, you need to just think this. You need. I said, I can't hear any of that. I can't hear that. You know what he did? He did what he just preached to you about. He started to speak the word over me. He started to say, but God says this, and God's word says this. And it wasn't John's answers, and it wasn't John's love, but it was God's love through John to me. And that is what God's called us to do, people. We can't isolate. We're not separate individuals. We are one. We are one family. We are one body. And he wasn't punishing me because I was isolating. He did not. He came for me and he found me and he said, your problems are mine. And if I don't have the answer, I'll ask God. And he prayed with me. And he didn't try to spit out all the things I should be doing that I'm not doing. He just loved me and he just pulled me under the umbrella. So I want you to know this is not something we don't do and that we haven't done. But it's possible, and it can transform your life, and it can transform your marriage, but you have to see it the way God does. You have to submit to your husband, but that husband has to have the umbrella to love as Christ loves, to come after you, to love you. He might not understand, and he didn't. When I started unloading, I could see his eyes were like, okay, but he doesn't have to have the answer. He doesn't have to fix it. He just brought me back under the umbrella and said, we'll do this together. We'll figure this out together.
It's so good, honey. So you know where this umbrella came from? I took Walker to a Panthers game, and since our Sundays are always, I could never go to a game. This was like, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. We went to a game on a Saturday for some, or maybe it's a Monday, whatever. It was weird, but we got to go to a game. We never get to go to a game. And I was shocked because it was pouring down rain. And if you've ever been even near the stadium on a game day, it's nuts. But I didn't realize, so I had an umbrella. It wasn't this one. And me and Walker go to the game, and as we get closer, I realize that people just standing there, and some of us had umbrellas, and they were holding them to the last second, because when they opened the gate to let everybody come in, they said, no umbrellas allowed. And there was this gigantic pile of umbrellas. I'm talking about a giant pile. So people were walking in and dropping their umbrellas. So since we rarely got to go to a game, me and Walker stayed till it was almost empty. We're looking at players. I got binoculars. We're checking these guys out. Like, wow, you know. So when we're leaving, you know, that place, it's amazing how quickly it'll dissipate. And when we left, we walked past that gigantic pile of, it stopped raining, gigantic pile. And that speaks to where we're at. If we don't need it, if it's not raining, we'll get another one later. People had forgotten about their umbrellas. And they were just there in a huge pile. I'm like, what are y'all going to do with all them umbrellas? We're going to throw them away. I was like, hold on, upgrade. I started looking through something I thought my wife would like. That's what I came up with. It's still me. Hey. Happy Mother's Day on that day. And birthday too. I know I went big. Y'all get them compiled gifts. No, I'm not that cheap. That's pretty cheap though. But I do remember saying, where's my umbrella? I'm like, I got you this one though. That thing was gone. It's ready for that trash pile. But how quickly we throw something away that belongs to us. That belongs to me. If you won't do what you're supposed to do, somebody like me will come along and will. I'm not talking about in a good way. There's an enemy that will step in. The scripture talks about God looking for one that would stand in the gap. It's actually a prophecy about Jesus coming, that there's some things that we can do as men, but there's some things that we cannot do at all. And no one can take the place of him. And I look for one to stand in the gap. And that was going to be Jesus for us. But look, guys, there's some things that are cut out just for us, that if we don't do them, there's an enemy that'll stand in that gap waiting. When I played football, there was this term that we got, when we, like, two people would block down on one person, and the running back was, and y'all can tell I wasn't the running back, but they're supposed to shoot through the gap. Can I tell you that the enemy is looking for gaps to shoot through? Shoot through. You know what I'm talking about. You big old foot, stand up. Look at this guy. I got this. Good night. I'll tell you, there's a time in my life when I thought I looked like him. I never looked like that. But I thought I did. You ever go to that mirror at Belk's, just real quick? That five-sided mirror or whatever, it's from the devil, I can promise you that. That's when I realized how big my nose was. I'd never seen myself from the side. I was like, oh my gosh. Nobody's going to like me. Sorry. But I know something about me now. I know God's given me an authority to pray over you and to pray over you and you and everything that's mine. And I will not let anybody take that place of authority. Not because I'm jealous that they might hear somebody pray a more eloquent prayer than me. I've got more authority in that area. You've got more authority in that area. God made that life through you. You're the most invested. You're not just the most invested. You're why they're here. God, there's something about Him and fatherhood. It means a lot to Him how we got here. He keeps a record of all that. Don't let the enemy take what belongs to you. Don't. I hope you sense the authority that He's given you. I hope you sense that. He said, you've been living under this umbrella, and I got an upgrade for you. Will you pray with me, Father? I thank you for these men in this room. I thank you for these women. I thank you for these families, Lord. But especially today, these men who have fathered children. The authority that's in their voice. Their authority that's in their prayer. Whether their child is in the room or not. It's powerful. It's strong. It's mighty. It is a gift from you to us. And you recognize it. And I'm praying that you help us to recognize it too. Loose our lips. Loose our mouths. We can say anything that we have to say. Let this not be something that we don't have to say. I speak a blessing over my children. I speak a blessing over my wife. If I'm just there to hold the umbrella, I'm going to hold it for them. What an awesome privilege you've given us. What an incredible gifting that we can even see you through what you've given us to do. Let us walk in it, Lord. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name, amen. Walk in it, men. Walk in it.